Club of Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our Battle of the Booth Booth Man. Guys, thank you so much for your patience. Yeah. I know it took a while to get the show in, but don't worry, we made it nice and hot in here.
We turn the AC off. Things are going to get hot on old CBC tonight.
Yeah, so this has been this is going to be a big week for you, right?
Yeah, I'm actually I'm turning 30 soon. I don't know. I know I seem younger, but I'm like, what'd you say? I'm turning 30. So it's a big change. And you guys are like what, 38? How old are you? I don't know.
45.
Older. So if you could tell me a little bit about it, maybe through the lens of a comic book character, what it's like to be so old.
Well, you know, there's some older comic book characters. You could be like the Vulture from Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I fly around and rob people.
Huh? Interesting.
That's one of the things you do when you get old.
Yeah,
I've seen you doing that.
I feel like the older I get, the more I become like Galactus, where I would rather just sit around and eat planets than do anything else.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but what are you thinking? What are you thinking that
I don't know. I still,
like for you?
I still eat candy for 3 meals a day. I left my red wagon parked
still?
Out front.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm very young.
You took a wagon all the way here from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I didn't ride it. I pulled puppies all the way up from Brooklyn here.
That's
casual.
Great. Guys, we are going to get right into the show. We're very excited about the guests we have tonight, so let's welcome them out. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Chow and Mike Kaplan.
Yeah, I did.
All right, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. We're very excited to have you.
You're welcome.
You like that?
There's going to be more of them throughout the show, so.
Really, I've never seen PowerPoint.
I told them some hand paints.
All I know of you guys is like your floating voices, you know, like in this podcast world. But, you know, it's like, oh, there's visuals now with it. Yeah.
If it's more comfortable, you can close your eyes.
That's
how the audience does that during the show.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Hey. Turn that microphone off.
Right,
turn the microphone.
Yeah, that's your name now. You're a big old cat. Mike, let's talk to you first. You sit in.
Hello.
This is to me.
Yes.
How's it going? So you're a stand-up.
That's true.
You're
a stand-up guy.
That's the only fact I know about you. But you're also a comic book fan.
I read comic books.
Yeah, yes. You tend to stick to the trades, though?
I do. The easy way to not miss things.
Cool.
I write jokes in advance before I perform them on stage.
Great disclaimer.
Well,
so we.
Yeah, this is all scripted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. We worked on lines.
Yep. That was a Shakespearean beat. Right there. You took a pause there.
I will not tell Justin that that is true.
And I didn't hear it because that's an aside to the audience. I'm a classically trained actor, so I'm happy to.
Don't tell me.
I was really.
Stop it. Mike, talk about you. So, as a comic book fan, we all have had kind of awkward interactions sometimes with reading comics in public.
It's true, and interesting that you bring that up to me.
Out of nowhere.
Set up. All right, guys.
I was on a bus once reading a comic book, and there was a girl sitting next to me reading a non-comic book, a tragic book, or a book, you might call it.
Tragic book.
The opposite of comic. You know, the faces, the laugh and the not laugh faces.
Theatrical, of course. Yeah. Theatrical masks.
Same page. So I say to her, what are you reading? She says, the Bible. I say, I've heard of it. Smooth, I'm in. And she says, what are you reading? I said, the Punisher, the Marvel comic book. She says, I haven't heard of that, right? She's like, what is it? She asks, and I say, it's a guy who kills people out of vengeance, kind of like your book. She doesn't miss a beat. She says, her face sort of like lights up, and she's like, do you have a Bible? And I say, no. And she's like, here. And she gets off the bus, and I don't have time to thank her or do anything, like make a sizzling noise when she handed it to me. And the point is, she's doing a good deed. She's happy. She's being a good Christian. And I'm getting a book for free. I'm happy. I'm being a good Jew. And we all win as long as there's no God for real. So, and that was, hey, I'm getting better at this off the cuff stuff.
Yeah. You're doing a real good job, but we're going to move over and talk. Thanks,
wow.
Fred, let's talk about, you're pretty well known for your book, Johnny Hero, for those who haven't read it.
Great.
For those who haven't read Johnny Hero, you want to talk about it a little bit, the idea of the book?
Yeah, basically the pitch is, there's this guy, he's half Asian and half American, and he lives in a small apartment with his girlfriend, Mayumi, who's come from Japan. Her mom is essentially one of the people in a Voltron-like robot, so Super A-OK robot is what it's called, and she's...
Wait, her mom's in it?
Like, her mom's one of the, essentially, her mom's a Power Ranger. And in the first issue, a giant lizard comes, you know, and a revenge scheme just tries to kidnap the daughter. Johnny Hero, who's just a normal guy, no superheroes, superpowers or anything, has to try and rescue her. Things happen, Mayor Bloomberg gets involved,
he's
solved.
He's always sticking his nose
everywhere.
Yeah.
But the thing is that then they've got a hold in their apartment, and that's the first issue, and then the rest of it's just like them dealing with laws and how to get the, you know, Bloomberg administration and how to deal with property issues.
It's amazing how much paperwork is in your company.
Every 627A, passed recently, is actually a bill that passed. You know, there's a lot of research
so
that goes
fun.
Into it. Judge Judy, I did a lot of research on her. She actually was a Brooklyn judge for a while. Like, you know, everything in there is pretty much true, unless I footnote it as false, which I do a lot.
Tricky.
Yeah, and you were working on an anthology recently.
Oh, Found Requiem for a Paper Bag recently came out, and that was, I don't know if you've heard of Found Magazine at all.
Yeah,
it's
great.
Yeah, and he put together books or stories about found objects, and that's awesome, just because some of my favorite writers ever were included in that. You know, like there's Dave Eggers and like Tom Robbins and Seth Rogen's in it, Andy Samberg's in it, and he and I had known each other from the independent publishing days when he was starting up his project and my publishing ventures failed completely. But
he rubbed it in your face at all?
He totally rubbed it in my face, but we remained
friends.
That
one guy hates you, he's laughing at your...
He was the guy who spent his money on... He and I started the publishing company together. And so we both failed, but we ended up staying friends. Davey and I ended up staying friends, and Davey contacted me and said, hey, do you mind doing a submission? I was like, hells yeah. And then next thing I know, I'm like, holy crap, look at who's in this book.
Well, congratulations.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
And one last thing, we were talking about this a little backstage. You used to be a rapper?
Uh-oh. I think you might be
right
now.
Shit.
Right now.
There was a project called Roy G. Biv, and we were working on an album called Acronymous.
Let's hear it.
All right. What?
Yeah. You gonna do it?
You're gonna be my... You wanna be my hype man?
How do you do that?
All right.
How do you do that?
So all you need to do is, four times. It's just gonna be Fred Chow's gonna eat ya, ha. Okay? So just follow
right
me.
Now.
Yeah. Fred Chow's gonna eat ya, ha. Fred Chow's gonna eat ya, ha. Fred Chow's gonna eat ya, ha. Fred Chow's gonna eat ya, ha.
Fred Chow's gonna eat ya.
Come and sit on my
Fred
lap.
Chow's gonna eat ya.
I know the one you take. Let me slap that
Fred
ass. And then we'll post the crap. But maybe some of the
Fred
crap.
Chow's
you wanna
eat ya.
Fred Chow's gonna eat ya.
Let's do it right.
Fred Chow's gonna eat ya.
Fred Chow's gonna eat ya. You know we get so crazy.
Fred Chow's gonna eat ya.
Fred Chow's gonna eat ya. What I thought you were rubbing up on me. You slag Roosevelt. That's that kind of me. You know, if you wanna get raw with me, then don't go chasing waterfalls on me. The other dude was a white guy, I was an Asian guy, we didn't have the street cred.
Fred, that was awesome. That, not so
awesome.
That went a lot better than when we rehearsed it outside.
Yeah. I wish we rehearsed that.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. First thing we're going to talk about is Spider-Man, the Clone Saga, number one. Yes, that's in fact what we're going to talk about first. Are you shocked at Spider-Man Clone Saga, or that we're going to talk about it first?
No, I don't know.
Well,
Shout, 1 point away from you.
Fill people in while he's freaking out a little bit about
Well, here's the deal. For those of you who don't know, the Clone Saga is, I think, generally considered one of the worst comic book storylines of
right.
all time. It was the first attempt, or one of the first attempts, to take Spider-Man and make him a single dude just hanging out in the city again. This time by revealing he had a clone who named Ben Reilly, who was actually Peter Parker, and Peter Parker was actually the clone, so they switched him out.
Wow! Real
yeah.
trick.
Yeah.
The unfortunate part is that it went on for way too long. Through various iterations, it went far from where they originally wanted it to be, or at least that's what they're saying. The idea here is to take the saga, stick it into 6 issues, and do it the way they originally wanted to do it. So what do you guys think? Are they doing it for themselves?
Well, I like the idea of the fact that in Marvel is like, hey, you know what? People complain about this. You know,
let's do it again.
Let's redo it. People are like, I wish they would redo the Clone Saga. So you know what? We asked for it, we got it.
Do you know they're dying for another Ishtar as well.
Ishtar joke?
Thank you.
Every show.
Yeah.
This is like the comic book equivalent of stop hitting yourself.
Nice.
Yeah.
I thought, while shorter, is also
that's the stop hitting yourself equivalent of stop hitting yourself.
Thank you. Pete, you're the Ishtar of the show.
Oh.
Whoa, all right.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, have you guys actually seen Ishtar? Because it's not that bad.
Whoa. Don't undercut me. even though it's shorter, it's still sort of bad. It's very stilted and...
Is it just me or is the dialogue incredible because it reminds you of how
right.
it was originally written? Like, everybody's incredibly like, I am going to explain exactly how I feel while I'm fighting you, even though you already know the backstory.
Yeah, exactly. Mary Jane's like, I've been having this sickness in the morning. And you're like, oh, she's pregnant. And then she's with a doctor. He's like, doctor, tell me what's wrong with me. He's like, well, congratulations. She's like, what does he mean? So it's like, where is the sense?
And then it's issue number one, and you have the prologue, which, you know, the backstory says, that says what's going on. But on this first page, it's, I'm Peter Parker, here's what's going on, and he narrates exactly what was kind of told to you right here, which was like, wow, that is a lot of reiteration.
So some people don't like to actually read. They need it in thought bubbles.
they need
the whole bubbles, otherwise they won't. Yeah.
Page two says, here's what did happen on page two.
I knew I didn't need to learn that out.
Oh, wait.
Another walk off, guys. Every show.
Every show we talk about the Clone Saga, and every show somebody walks off.
Every show is just a clone of the last show.
You know, this is what Tom DeFalco does, though. I mean, he writes very, very old school comics. If you read Spider-Girl at all, it's the same thing there.
So,
where it is people being like, I'm going to talk about my feelings now. But not in like.
As I fight you. Because
yeah.
that's what happens when I fight people.
He's like the Paul McCartney of Marvel.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
Nobody agrees with you on this.
I hate Paul McCartney. Backstory there.
Definitely do this when the Beatles are very, very popular.
The Beatles are coming on the show.
Yes. I don't want to promise anything, but the Beatles are coming on the show.
Yeah.
I promise. would you say pick this up?
No.
No. Pass.
Nice. Pass.
I'd say it's an amazing
show, right?
One just to look at, you know, just to like give a quick read through and then be like, all right, that was what it. Exactly what it was, and I'm very surprised that it's back.
Yeah. I don't think it's totally innocuous. I don't feel like there's anything particularly wrong with it, but there's also no reason.
I just thought it was hilarious that it was like 90s.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What I love in a comic book is total innocuousness. It's like holding a.
They should
air.
Put that on the cover. Innocuous!
Yeah. It won't even give you a paper cut. Yeah. Finally innocuous.
Let's move on to talk about Green Lantern, number 46. This is continuing Blackest Night, which is enveloping... I know, that was gross. Enveloping the DC Universe. Zombies are coming back. This is focusing a little more on the space stuff that's been going on. What'd you guys think about this?
This was actually very enjoyable. The last issue kind of lost me a little bit.
Too many colors?
Yeah. Well, I just didn't like the huge kind of two-page monologue of, like, when you get a new character show up and they have to give their whole, like, hi, I'm this person, and the reason I'm here is to stop this crime, so if you will let me continue, I will save the day. You know, I was like, wow, this is really on the nose. But this issue is fantastic. You got a little old school kind of Sinestro Green Lantern going back and forth, kind of a nice kind of feeling like, oh yeah, this is going to be good. So it's very enjoyable.
What did you guys think? Have you been paying attention to Blackest Night at all? Did this make sense? Did you care about it even?
Green Lantern's the good guy.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think in these things, when there's too many heroes, it just like, I shut off, I can't do it. It's just, you know, I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of Roy G. Biv in that.
maybe I would read that.
The answer to your question is no, I have not been following it. But yes, I understood it, I think.
Thank you for answering my questions in a factual
manner. is that not what we're supposed to do? I like the Clone Saga. Yeah.
It's funny though, you make a good point, because if anyone picks this up, obviously like you guys, it's totally impossible to approach. There are like 19 different characters. There are characters who have been on the planet for like years, who are like, oh, thank you for finally getting here. Let's fight.
Yeah. I would go as far as to say this is not innocuous.
What another compliment.
four people have been paying attention to this. It's completely impenetrable otherwise. But I thought this was a great issue because it really paid off on a lot of stuff that's been seeded for a very, very long time throughout all these books.
Yeah.
Which is surprising that it's not happening in the main Blackest Night series, because you feel like it would be happening there. But whatever it is.
Have you guys all read it? Do you guys know what's going on in this book?
Cool, what do you guys want us to talk about?
It's like the Care Bears, right?
Yeah, bingo. Thank you.
Yeah. Green Lantern's the one with the rainbow on his tummy. Yeah. Let's move on to talk about Runaways, number 14. This is the last issue by Catherine Immonen and Sarah Pichelli.
Lady comic.
Yeah, it's a lady comic. We have been...
That's why I didn't get it. All right?
Yeah.
We only like reading Beer Man.
Yeah.
For sure. Sports guy. I gave up on that. We've been big fans of Runaways for a while. What'd you guys think about this?
Well, what sucks is...
Oh, I'll get it.
Okay. What sucks is Runaways is fantastic, and then sometimes we switch writers and artists. Has a completely different feel to it as this case. But what I'm excited about is this ending, and then hopefully we'll get back on track. Because right now, I loved the way it started, and then it lost me, so hopefully... with a new team switch, it'll get back on board.
I really liked it because I've read some Runaways in the past, and I was like, I know what some of these names mean.
So you like it when you recognize things.
I enjoy knowing things.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Andy. Knowing things, everybody.
Smart, aware people.
The more you know. Really vibe
with that. This is a mess. This is a total mess, and it's really unfortunate, I think, because I like Catherine Mono Rod. I think she's a... Well, oh God, that's a little strong.
Is she related to Stuart?
Yes. Yeah, they're married, actually.
Look at that, another thing I knew.
That was more of a guess.
It was a question, yeah.
The problem is it doesn't feel like one panel connects to the next panel.
Last four pages were great, though. Very dramatically laid out.
Nope. True?
No.
True! Thank you!
It was also sort of a guess, but...
I'll take it.
Nice.
Would you say pick it up?
No.
Wow. We hate everything, by the way. Let's move on to talk about Batman, the winding... You were saying Gyre?
I don't know. Gyre or Gyre?
Gyro.
Gyro.
Thank you.
Gyro. Gyro. It's pronounced Gyro.
We live in America.
This is kind of delicious and meaty and spiced.
Yeah. Great white sauce.
Yeah. The white sauce, I like the spicy sauce better.
I get them both.
This is Kevin Smith's Batman comic, showing how a variety of different people can kick the crap out of Batman and people will cry about it. And then everybody else will come in and be
it's
like...
It's a softer, gentler Batman.
This is terrible. What is Kevin Smith? What happened to this guy?
Well,
remember when everyone was like, he's going to save sort of entertainment? And now he's just slowly chipped away at his reputation. Now he can't even write a Batman comic book. That being senseless. And you were saying there was a big article in
He in the Post yesterday, he is all excited because he decided that he does all these movies about marijuana, that he started smoking marijuana, and he was like, I'm creative again. And he wrote all these Batman.
A lot of stoned people think
that. He wrote all these Batman stories.
I'm really doing this.
Yeah, I wrote this really great script. It's 130 pages of just people saying, dude.
Yeah. Man, you played the most awesome game of Frisbee yesterday. Man.
Well, this guy.
We're squares.
He was in the original things when he was good. The first things he made, he wasn't even saying anything. He was just silent. So now he's saying things.
Yeah.
Do you guys understand his character?
Okay. Yeah.
I liked how you tried to clue them in, like, yeah, they didn't get what you were
saying. I understood that they understood, but I was trying to be a little meta about it. Yeah, I get it.
I just don't understand the point of the series at all. I don't understand the title. I don't understand what the focus is. Introduces this new guy who's like Batman, but he has taller ears, which seems to be his power.
He's like an elk.
Yeah,
yeah, he's sort of...
Yeah, like a good elk, as opposed to all the evil elk that are running around.
It's true. They're a real menace. If I can see that for a second.
You can.
There's a great exchange Batman has here. Here, I have to find it. Pete, cover me.
all right.
Oh, here it is. It's easily a 20-minute ride from the Gotham Piers back to the manor. In my car, it takes 5. That's my kind of hero. Real speedy. Real fast ride. That's like great, great braggy Batman.
You could have said that the same way, like, I have to get home.
Yeah. But
I really want to go home. Can we go home already?
Yeah, this is terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. All right, let's move on to something else, you guys, because clearly we're not
here. Real crotchy Robin in there, too, which I can't get.
Crotchy?
What is that?
Like, the drawing of him is very crotch-focused.
Maybe I'll pick it up.
There you go. Let's move on to talk about Dark Reign Lethal Legion 3 of 3. What'd you guys think about this?
I like reading the end of things, so I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I don't like getting here and it's like, to be concluded, I'm like, I'm not gonna be here next week.
Basically, there's a bunch of evil dudes in the Marvel Universe who have gotten together and tried to kill Norman Osborn, the guy who's running the Marvel Universe. And this is exploring who freed Norman Osborn from a chair.
Exploring is a strong word.
It's When I pick up a comic book, I want to get into legal banter. You know what I mean? I feel like really having lawyers talk to villains while they're in their cells is just fantastic.
Yeah, this
really
is
great.
I don't think that he's telling the truth.
Him?
Yeah. Thank you for identifying that.
That sounds sarcastic.
He can hear.
But I love it. Like, I haven't read this, but now that you've said that, I'm like, this is what I want to read. that's exactly why, like, when I kind of got back into comics was when Bendis started writing Daredevil, and all of it was just like, wow, the public wants you to run for mayor. They say you'd be a shoo-in. Well, I don't want to do that. And it's like, this is kind of amazing, you know?
You should watch MSNBC. I love that shit.
Well, all right.
Are there supervillains on it? Huh?
But, yeah.
There's a lot of chat about things that might happen someday.
All right, didn't really answer his question.
I accept it. this was crazy. It was a lot of people talking about, like, well, this is the motivation for why this happens, lawyer, blah, blah, blah. But what I think is crazy is...
Okay, well, I guess in my thing, it's not just people talking about things. It's actually, like, if you get real law into it, then it gets really interesting.
I keep talking about it.
That's true.
Well,
what was that?
I don't know. Will you like it when it's just, like, when actual laws are used in comic books?
Well, like, the more that they can
talk
into...
Well, there's research and it's intelligent.
Like, that's why I love Boston Legal, because you have William Shatner being crazy, but then you're like, oh my god, I'm actually dealing with the legal system, you know? Like, which is why... I mean, oddly enough, Night Court was the most accurate, for a long time, was the most accurate New York... based lawyer show.
Let's get back to the
So, like, with all this stuff, I don't think that it's that hard to take what's going on in the real world and put it in an entertaining scenario. We have something crazy ass like this. Why the hell not?
I like the idea that Mel Torme would show up in the New York legal system, as he did as much and then George would always be doing sort of magic.
That's why future shows like Boston Legal are more realistic, because Mel Torme does not show up.
But at the time, if you read reviews of the way that Night Court was, it's like Night Court actually was, according to a lot of people, the most accurate.
I definitely spent a lot of time reading reviews of Night Court.
That is one of the craziest things I've ever heard anyone say. And I say, that's nuts.
You're going to say something about...
I just think, in the Marvel Universe right now, all the villains are dressed up as heroes, and these are villains who are sick of the villains being dressed up as heroes, so they formed a team of villains to take down the villains who were dressed as heroes, and lost, and so the villains who were dressed as heroes won.
Yeah.
Thank
what?
You. I'm a hype man, so I can do that.
Cool. We're going to move on. Talk about one of the biggest
girls who like boys? Like girls who like boys?
Thank you. Ishtar.
Yeah. You guys are really connecting. I like this a lot. Let's move on to talk about Die Hard Year One. Yes. is the story you asked for, What Happened Before Die Hard? How did John McClane get there? What drove him to take off his shoes?
Who designed Nakamura Plaza?
Yeah, exactly.
Where did the cement come from?
What were the legal matters that came up when they were building it?
Wasn't it the guy on the plane who told him to take off his shoes?
Yes.
Great.
That's right.
This is more impenetrable than that last comic book. It's like 900 characters. There are bad cops, and there's
John McClane's barely in this thing.
I know, he walks by in the beginning, then in the end, he's like, man, it's a tough city. You're like, yeah, I guess. Thanks, man.
So I gotta say, that's what I loved about it. It's like,
really?
Okay, I thought I would hate it, because I love Die Hard. Die Hard and Die Hard 2, two of my favorite movies ever.
Die Hard 3. What about Die Hard with Vengeance?
Yeah.
Not so much in the with a Vengeance. No, but,
I'll
let you off for four.
What? Yeah, I worked on Die Hard with a Vengeance. You know the stunt where they...
did you work on Die Hard the first movie with a Vengeance?
Very good question. That's a great question.
Like, I thought...
Here's
your coffee, sir.
Wait, you worked on the...
Yeah, the stunt where they fly over the wall in Central Park when they're driving. I worked on that.
What do you mean?
I ran back and forth bringing batteries for things.
Oh,
that's pretty much it. And they're like, we're out of batteries, run!
And they don't really want to tell you where to run?
Yeah, pretty much. And the batteries were in these canisters. One was red, and the other one was another color that I don't remember.
Did you think that a young PA, Alex Delvin, would ever dream of hosting a comic?
I gotta tell you, the idea came when Bruce Willis walked over to me and he was like, kid,
you're gonna host a comic book.
Actually, I will tell you what, this isn't necessarily hilarious, but there, one of the things that I had to do was copy pages of the script. And you know the end of the movie when the boat blows up?
Yeah.
The direction, that entire scene was, boat blows up with most gigantic explosion ever. That was the entire stage.
Can I tell a brief...
I wrote that.
I have something that pertains to Bruce Willis and Kevin Smith. I ran into this guy that I knew, and he lives somewhere in the East Village, and Kevin Smith rented his house from him and gave him like $11,000 to him and his roommates to shoot some of this movie Dicks. So Bruce, for like a couple days, Bruce Willis and like various and Kevin Smith were walking through his house. If you know my friend or me, it's really exciting.
Cool.
Great payday.
So pick up Die Hard Year One. All right, let's move on. Talk about, last but not least, New Mutants number 5. Woo. Guys, you demanded it. I demanded it. We've all been waiting for it. Warlock is back.
Oh, careful.
I know, we're all pretty excited.
You got a couple classes.
And we all know who Warlock is and what the history is, so we don't really need to get into it, but let's talk about the issue.
I don't know if everyone does.
Yeah, everybody's pretty familiar. Everybody has Warlock as their favorite character.
Oh, what's the deal with this guy? He's a bunch of computers? Is that like a stack of Apple IIe's? Like a stack of Apple IIe's over here.
Is he drawn in the 80s and they just don't want to up the character? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, they drew him once in the 80s. They keep pacing.
So don't they want to
upgrade this? Now I'm actually bad. Warlock is...
Yeah, who is this Warlock?
What's the deal with this guy?
What's so great about Warlock?
Sell me on this guy.
Is he a male witch?
Yeah.
No. He's a robot from outer space.
Ah. Yeah.
Cool.
Now you got everybody's attention.
What? Yeah, there you go. Now you're all into it.
So, Ron
the space. Sexy robot from space.
Yeah. Thank you. I wish that was.
Yeah, Warlock is a character from the original New Mutants series who I was a big fan of back then. Especially, he was friends with my favorite character, Cypher, Doug Ramsey. Cypher's power was—he was basically a human, but had he had translation powers. He could translate any language, so he couldn't really punch people or fight.
His power was linguistics.
Yes.
His power was having like a BA from Vassar. You're saying. Like he's like a Vassar graduate. Pretty much what you mean.
I'll get you later. But Warlock, he would team up with Warlock, and Warlock would be kind of like his robot super suit.
Because he was a superhero. And Cypher was
a guy with an iPhone.
An assistant professor. Thank you. That's why you have an iPhone. You're an early adopter of the iPhone, so you can be like Cypher.
Yeah.
You know, you learned something about yourself.
Yes, I did. Thank you for revealing that to me.
Yes.
What did you guys think about this issue?
The art's very nice. I think it's a fine issue.
I didn't get what this warlock was all about.
Oh, he actually did. You really need to explain. He's like a stack of computers.
I'm just amazed that Vince from Entourage is, like, in it.
Yeah.
Look at that. That's really amazing.
That's actually the part I like the least, is some spots in here hitting on Rogue in the shittiest way. When you're in a room with Rogue, you ask her to touch your face or something.
Well, I don't know. It is actually like it's a little bit of talking dialogue.
Yeah.
That he's talking about. He's like, hey, I'm gonna do a little bit of a line on you. What if we had sex?
Yeah. It's nothing new for Sunspot.
Yeah. And that's kind of, okay. You guys don't think I'm Sunspot?
No. You have a lot of qualities in common.
Thank you.
It's just
we're both soccer players from Brazil.
Yep.
It's weird to
heat right
see
now.
You put on a course persona of hitting on girls. It's kind of creepy.
Oh,
thank you.
Wow.
And that's it for the snack. Now we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up with your audience questions, and for that we're going to bring out Boothman. Grant, bring it down a little bit.
Yeah. Take your time. Take another Shakespeare.
Boothman, in case you've never been here before, lives in the booth. Let's get the first question.
What are you afraid of?
It's my first time.
That's not true.
You had a choice of having a worse or the worst superpower. Which would it be?
If we had a choice of the worst superpower?
I would say no.
No, I said maybe of the worst superpowers. Like, you had to choose one of the worst superpowers.
Like, being Cypher?
Yeah. Didn't say that. I mean, we're all sort of... Wow, boo.
That's a great superpower, so you can't choose that.
We actually all have that sort of...
Are there choices? Don't we have the worst superpowers, which is no superpowers?
I don't know. I'm the only one with good vision
actually,
on this panel right
I
now.
I have a power like a real one, like not...
Yeah, where's your glasses?
I'm sorry, guys. I have perfect vision.
I'm actually a little bit mutated. My sock palate never closed. This is the worst superpower. My sock palate never closed, so that at the top of my mouth, there's two holes that go directly into my nose. When I was little and eating rice would always get stuck, and I had a hard time breathing. That's a worse superpower. I'm a little bit mutated because my sock palate never closed.
Wow. Could you?
Were you sorry? Rice up your nose?
No, it's just sometimes it would just.
Could you ever blast it out your nose?
Oh God, I don't want to get. It's gross. Like when it gets in there, it's just like there's moisture in your nose. You know, it's
could
just
you
like
do the noodle trick.
I could not do the noodle trick. No.
What if it was
because that goes to the back of your throat.
Because if you want, do a lot of cocaine and do the noodle trick.
There we go.
Most cocaine users are trying to get there. It's not about
the
drugs.
I like how we're going to think of to do cocaine is the noodle trick.
I like how we're anti-weed, right? But we're pro-cocaine.
Cocaine is awesome, you guys.
That's always nice.
I like mushrooms.
Nice, cool.
All right. Who doesn't?
Worst superpowers, go.
Worst superpower?
I guess that would be turning into a bucket of water, right? That would be.
You don't know. Are you talking about the Wonder Twins?
Yes, of course I'm talking about.
But here's the thing, he could turn into other things, it's just he's not very creative.
Turning into a bucket of pee would be worse.
Only for the person holding it.
But more creative.
Thing. Being a leper is probably a bad superpower.
That's a disease.
Yeah. They're all heroes in my eyes.
The power where you just die, that would be a bad one.
Yeah.
We all have that.
Oh yeah.
Being Ben Grimm is kind of shitty.
Yeah. What?
His whole thing is like, God, no one will ever love me. And so far it's been
he's got tons of ways.
That's Ben Button.
Benjamin Button? Yeah. Wait, Ben Button? I don't know.
You guys
how many times have you seen that movie?
Benny Button.
Yeah.
Benny.
BB.
Cool. Richard, if you ask that piece, can bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Alright. I don't know what this one means, but maybe you guys do.
Cool. Because the last one was great.
With Cyclops creating Nation X, isn't he admitting that Magneto was right all along?
Wow.
Ooh.
Backstory on that. Magneto was always like, the mutants can never live with the humans. We need to rule them from afar, basically. And now Cyclops just made an island appear in San Francisco Bay.
It was Asteroid M, which was Magneto's old
space where
from
he
space.
Rolled from afar. Yeah.
Here's it. Is it floating? It's like floating in the water.
Yeah. Well, they have buoyancy things on it.
Buoyancy things?
Yeah.
That's the technical term.
Yeah.
Some people
buoys.
Call them balloons.
Yeah. And so now they're living sequestered from America on this island of mutants.
So yes, is the answer.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I think that's what they're kind of heading toward is like...
Yeah, well, they're heading towards the next issue that's coming out. Magneto comes back, and he's like, I was
like,
right all along, and they're going to be like, no, you weren't, and then they're going to fight a little bit.
Maybe.
They'll be like, all right, maybe we were. And they'll be like, no, we weren't, because we're heroes.
That's Die Hard Year One.
No, if it was Die Hard Year One, there would be like 30 pages about Spider-Man, and then a couple pages
yeah.
about Fantastic Four, and then they come back and be like, Magneto's coming.
He's on his way, I promise. I don't know. I think that's kind of what the point is of this whole storyline. I like it, though. I like all the stuff Matt Fraction's been doing.
Cool. Nice and serious question.
Raise your hand if you ask that. Beans can bring you some free comics. Let's get one last question.
You should play Stan Lee in the movie of the history of Marvel.
Who wants to see that movie?
I want to see that movie. It will be the blockbuster of the season.
Answer, Alex Albin.
Alex Albin using a bad Stan Lee voice.
That's a pretty good Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Stan Lee should have a cameo in the movie as somebody else.
Yeah.
Stan Lee should be the person to be like, you're going to go far, kid.
Yeah. You're going to be me. That's my impression.
Pretty good as well.
Pretty good, thank you.
Yeah, so who do you think should play Stan Lee?
Benjamin Button.
Well, that's the obvious choice.
Well,
yeah,
he's not a real person. If you mean Brad Pitt,
Benjamin Grimm.
Nice. Oh, so anyone's very angry. I don't know, I gotta say, I don't like Stan Lee.
What?
I know that's a bold thing to say. I find him obnoxious.
You better start running now.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I find him obnoxious.
He helped invent everything you love.
Mickey Rourke.
Oh, that's a good suggestion.
Why?
Lou Ferrigno.
You're thinking of Mickey Rooney.
I am thinking of Mickey Rooney. You're right.
All right, Benjamin, if you ask that, please can bring you some free comics. And that is it for your audience questions.
Woo!
Yeah. Great. All right, we are going to move on to the little section we like to call the Week in Geek. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Past couple of weeks, Hero started 2 weeks ago. Last night was new episode of Heroes. I feel a little bad.
And
where
should we be? We're a little embarrassed. We haven't talked about it.
Yes, we haven't talked about Heroes the past 2 weeks. So, next thing we are going to talk about is a little bit of news that came out this past week from the inaugural Long Beach Comic Con. I think this is my best Photoshop
That's
ever.
A great one. I think you can see one little piece of Batman's cowl sticking up. Like some sort of grace.
Actually, Dan DiDio has Wi-Fi installed. Dan DiDio, executive editor of DC Comics, is now writing an ongoing series, The Outsiders, or possibly Batman and the Outsiders, or whatever they want to call it. What do you guys think about this? Should the executive editor, the head of the entire line of DC Comics, be taking the time out to write an ongoing title?
No.
What else does he have to do?
Run DC Comics!
Well, especially when DC is rapidly losing its market share. Do you think this is a good idea? This is a little bit, obviously, a leading question.
Yeah.
No.
Correct.
Well,
next point.
He wrote the Metalman story in Allende Comics, which everyone was like, wow, it's not as bad as we thought it would be. So I think he's feeling...
That's what DC should be aiming for.
Yeah, guy who's writing everything. Yeah. Sadly, that is sort of where they're at right now.
Yeah, come on.
Why?
Oh,
this is a couple good stuff that DC's doing. It's not like all of the stuff is horrible.
No, but across the line, it's sort of a mess.
No, it's not.
What? You
Blackest Night is good. That's
right.
Selling like crazy.
Okay, keep going.
Flash Rebirth is selling good. The Batman and Robin is selling.
You don't like it.
I'm not talking about sales. I'm talking about money, profits.
Ching! Real Wall Street over here.
What do you guys think about this? Any thoughts?
I've never run a company. I've never run that. I think it's a big company. Probably a lot of people. But he's in charge of all the stuff. So if he's like, I'm the best guy to write something, then why would he be wrong?
Well, here's the thing. When I used to run a lemonade stand,
It was great. And then I started making the lemonade, and things went to shit. There's the lesson.
Nice. Great. I guess we've come to a really definite conclusion there, which is that Dio should not run a lemonade stand.
Yeah. Well, I should run a lemonade stand. You guys should team up.
He should make the lemonade, you should run the stand.
Jeez. If only we had an image of that.
Let's go to the next image.
It's not that.
Which is not that. We're actually going to talk about tomorrow. We're big fans of the series Fables on the show, written by Bill Willingham. Bill Willingham has written his first novel based on the Fables universe, which is kind of interesting. It deals with the continuity of the comic book series, but it's a completely prose novel set within there. Do you think this is something that you'd like to see more of? Would you like to see more novels, more crossovers between the prose world and the picture book world?
Now, are you saying there's not going to be any pictures?
There's not one picture.
Nope.
There you go.
The pictures are in your head. It's the imagination of words.
But not that much imagination, because some of the pictures will have already been told to you in the book. So.
Right. So, for example, when, like, Big B Wolf shows up, you're going to know what he looks like.
Yeah, you don't have to go through that imagination business.
Yeah, that
bullshit. It's the same thing with, like, I read Twilight now, it's ruined for me. Well.
The mere mention of Twilight.
I like reading things, so I think this is good.
Yeah. I think this is great. Well, it's specific to Fables, though, because it's such a kind of literary comic book.
Yeah.
I think it wouldn't work with, say, The Punisher, maybe.
What?
But they have been doing Batman novels. You know, they do Star Trek novels.
Right, but those are...
Well, who reads those?
Yeah.
Hey,
a lot of
Heir to the Empire? I read that shit! Star Wars, fine. Who reads the Star Trek ones?
Anybody?
Peter David's mother.
Yeah.
who read those two as he went to sleep?
Yeah, let's take this from a different angle. What comic books would you like to see about? About Punisher.
No.
Johnny Hero.
Well, that's the reason I read comics, because I don't like to read novels. If I want to read
that's
novels...
That's the reason you read comics?
Yeah.
You're running away from novels.
Yeah.
That's
if they made comics about math, I wouldn't be here.
Oh, that really makes you think. Where would you be?
You would be reading
math
novels.
Math club.
Math club, oh yeah.
A weekly talk... Show
what
about
what would you like to see? What series would you like to see turned into a novel?
I don't know. I think it's hard. I'd rather.
We're coming out so definitively anti-novel.
No, I read a lot of novels, but there's a reason.
Hey,
what?
What?
Oh!
Oh! Man!
Who said that? Nice. Wait, who read what novels do I read?
Yeah, she called you out. Like
I
what?
Was just reading.
Twilight.
Think back, well, what was the last time? Sixth
grade. I read the Westing Game, and what a story! No, I was just reading The Road by Cormac McCarthy, which is nice.
Peter David's mom was reading that to you. That's
don't bring that up.
We're gonna have to email Peter David and be like, hey, listen, we're sorry.
No one's insulted.
No, we're not.
But like with the Harry Potter novels, I found the movies to be, because I imagined all the characters and to see them in the movie, I was like, ah.
You read the Harry Potter novels?
Woo!
Hey. Yeah, they're good.
They're great.
Yeah.
They're not just.
Thank you, fan that just insulted me a minute ago.
Yeah. I'm trying to balance it out.
Yeah, that's cool.
Wow, this is great, guys. This is really good. We're really hashing out some stuff here on comic
I have an answer to your question.
Go ahead.
I would like to see Brian Bendis write novels, because sometimes, like, there's lots of words on his pages anyway, and it's like, what is going on? Is this just a book?
Eventually, we'll look back, and you'll see the progression, and finally, we'll just all be reading books.
Well,
Spider-Man, new Avengers books.
Neil Gaiman's stuff is awesome.
I've read all of it. He's
yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
Smoke and Mirrors was fantastic.
Yeah.
Then. I mean, that's not really now. It's short stories.
Neverwhere, fantastic. Yeah.
But I think that's the benefit of something like Fables in a novel form. It's just like, oh, let's actually take this universe that just keeps going and going, like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, let's create like a really rich Spider-Man story, one that won't take a year to tell. You know, you got a lot more that you can do per page because you can fit so much more information on a page. It's like a great way to create a story. I wouldn't read Peter and Max, nothing against Fables or anything, but like when I read novels, I tend not to go towards the sci-fi fantasy world. But at the same time, I do think it's a wonderful, you know, medium for that to do with comics, you know, and I would love to...
Legal novels.
What was that?
Legal, more legal novels. Boston Legal, the book.
Some Dan Brown book.
I should, but I don't read that many legal novels, unfortunately. No Firm for me.
No Firm? No. I just watched that the other day.
This is great, guys. And that's it for the Week in Geek. All
right.
Cool. We're going to move on to the next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right.
Pete LePage.
This is the part of the show where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25? Simply raise your hand.
Thanks.
Well, I'm going to go with the guy who really wants it. Come on down.
Woo! What's your name?
Tim.
Tim, audience, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Right there, it's fine. So how this is going, here's your possible gift card. How this is going to work is I'm going to ask you three questions. You listen to all three possible answers. Choose the correct one. Go 3 for 3. Gift card yours. Okay, here we go. So today's trivia is on Johnny Hero. For no reason at all. All right, here we go. Thank you, Boothman. What is Johnny's job in the comic? Is it A, busboy, B, stock boy, or C, boy toy? So it's either A, busboy, or it's B.
I'm going to say it's A.
A is correct! 1 for 1. Here we go.
How do you do it?
If you're paying attention to the beginning of the show, you will get this right. Here we go. Which judge gets a shout out in Johnny Hero? Is it A, Judge Mathis, B, Judge Judy, or C, Stop Judging Me?
Judge Judy.
Judge Judy is correct! Here we go. Final question. Don't get cocky. In the story Johnny Hero, a giant lizard grabs Johnny's roommate slash girlfriend. What does he put on as he rushes to rescue her? Is it A, bunny slippers, B, guns, or C, a nice shrimp scampi with a light wine sauce with just a hint of parsley? So it is either A, bunny slippers, or it is not B.
I'm gonna have to go with A.
A is correct! $25, sir. Enjoy.
Thank
you. Out of nowhere. Yeah.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Woo! Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Jonah Hex and also Proof.
Any particular reasons for either?
Well, Jonah Hex is... What I enjoy about Jonah Hex is there's no real continuity. It's usually just a one-and-done story. And it's kind of like a badass Clint Eastwood X. No.
X.
No. Badass.
Esque.
S. Thank you.
Jonah X.
Yeah, yeah, nice. Jonah X.
No.
No.
I'm looking forward to Strange Tales, a bunch of independent comic book creators are working on Marvel characters. It should be pretty cool.
Awesome. I'm really looking forward to X-Babies number one.
What?
Woo!
Yeah! We're going to have the guys who are doing X-Babies on the show in a couple of weeks, so get excited.
Why don't you like that?
It's something created by Chris Claremont. It's like X-Men, but they're tiny. And they're and they're adorable. And they're finding their way out.
You dislike.
And there's even cuter, even tinier X-Babies in it. So it's the most adorable book.
Wait, X-Babies have X-Babies?
Yeah.
Like, babies having babies.
It's a real sexy book.
If the adult X-Men had babies, then in the X-Babies, then they'd have baby babies. So.
Baby babies.
Mike, I'm looking forward to the Supreme Power Nighthawk hardcover that is listed as coming out because I enjoy reading whole things at once, not just issues in the middle of nowhere.
Well, they're not in the middle of nowhere.
And you're right.
Yeah, we usually like 8 hours in the middle of the desert.
Yeah,
that's true.
I like being surrounded by things that I know and recognize.
And plug some of your stuff. Where can people check out your stuff?
I am going to be recording a half-hour Comedy Central Presents in about just under a month. It's either November 4th or 5th. I think they'll release the information. You can go to my website to find out if you want to come. It's myqkaplan.com. That's Mike Kaplan, but Mike is spelled M-Y-Q, so it's weird. And I also have a show at Caroline's. That is my show on October 28th. So you can find out all kinds of stuff on your computer boxes. MikeKaplan.com.
There you go. And what are you
looking forward to? I'm going to second Strange Tales. And the other thing, which I've never seen before, was Ghostbusters Displaced Aggression.
Oh, yeah.
Which I did not know existed, and I love to look at that.
Yeah, we read the first Ghostbusters series that they released, The Other Side, which was actually surprisingly fun.
Yeah. Good
to know. So, and plug your stuff. Where can people check out your stuff?
It's Johnny Hero over at any comic book store, hopefully. And I think that's all so far.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right,
do you have anything coming out?
I'm just working on a children's book with that. Oh, I also did a small piece for the Awesome Anthology from Indie Spin Rack and and the Found Anthology.
Awesome.
Yeah, which
awesome.
Is amazing.
Great.
What's
a couple
the
things
children's
before.
Book?
What's the children's book?
Yes.
It's a little girl who
Spoiler.
Is incredibly bored. It's here. Okay, quick pitch. It's Cat in the Hat without the Deus Ex Machina. So it's the two kids are bored at home, and then they're just like, oh my god, we're so bored, it's raining, what do we do? Cat in the Hat shows up and brings the fun and the craziness, but what would happen if the Cat in the Hat didn't show up? Because that's the god from the machine, that's the Deus Ex Machina. So it's the two people sitting around bored for 32 pages.
So it's like Waiting for Godot.
Yes, exactly.
Meet the Cat in the
four
Hat.
Four children. For ages 10.
You sold me.
Perfect.
Awesome. You can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Mike for being on the show.
Yeah!
We'd like to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks,
everybody. We're all still here now. They can see us. Nice rap.
What I used to do. That's hilarious. I was trying not to.